Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. It's very exciting today because I have got Siobhan Moran with Moran. Sorry about that, Siobhan. I got the first name pronunciation correct, and I'm
sure you did the second. You did the second in very, we'll say, normal Scottish terms.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, excellent. I was in Scotland a few months ago, so maybe it's rubbed off. Let's go with that as my excuse, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Siobhan is a business advisor, a mentor, and a quantum energetics thought leader. And her business is called Energetic Solutions, and that was founded by Siobhan to help entrepreneurs and individuals alike to achieve amazing results using uncommon ancient principles. You can see why I'm very interested to find out a little bit more about what Siobhan does, because it just sounded something that I definitely want to know about, and I thought that my listeners would as well. Now, she has used her unique formula to help over 25,000 entrepreneurs, CEOs, and leaders achieve freedom and flow in their business and in their lives. So when high achievers and leaders and entrepreneurs feel that they can't go any further amid their challenges and multiple odds, Siobhan's techniques and principles bring about clarity, simplicity, and importantly, profits. Her clients are rewarded with the ability to become that extra force that they need to succeed. And she is passionate about providing those results. It sounds really fascinating. And as I said, I'm very keen to hear about the ancient principles, Siobhan. And welcome.
Thanks for having me. We finally made it.
We did. And we had a little bit of a glitch this morning with time zones. And Siobhan is in California, in Southern California. But the mighty technology that we can do anything from around the world, we can talk to anyone, anywhere, at any time, and we can have the conversations live as we're doing now. Now, Siobhan, tell me a little bit about what got you into doing what you do.
Well, a couple pivot points. One key one was I moved to California, met the love of my life, and 5 years later, he died suddenly in a motorcycle accident. And that kind of put my whole life upside down. And then a couple years later, I was so enmeshed in the jobs and the companies that I was helping that I had gotten sick. I'd gotten myself sick. And I got misdiagnosed for something small, but it was actually something big. And I nearly died of blood poisoning. And I remember laying there on the emergency room table. I'm the only one in the emergency room. And they said, you have about 4 hours to live if we don't inject you with this stuff. And I remember thinking this very thought, well, okay, if you have to inject me with poison to kill the poison, I get it. But you know what? I'm not doing any more of that ever again. And so I made that decision really just in that hair's breadth of a second. I remember hearing those thoughts because of the misdiagnosis. And I thought, you know, if I can build companies, I can heal my body. And it was pretty arrogant to think that, but little did I know that I really could. And so what I discovered over the course of healing myself is this energy thing that I'd always known about and done and intuited and had a very gifted perspective of how to market and how to sell. And I was always using energy, and I didn't know it until that second event where I was laying in the emergency room table figuring out I could build, if I could build a company, I could heal myself. And so collapse that by a couple of, I guess, years of experimenting of this healing myself kind of thing. And all I was ever motivated was to keep myself healthy the rest of my life without having a physician kind of thing. And I'm a scientist, so I started experimenting with some companies that were clients, and sales kept going up. And I thought, I think I've been doing this the whole time. I just didn't know it. Now I need to figure out what I've been doing. And so I put it into a formula.
Excellent. And that's now, you take that not just within the health framework, do you? You take that into businesses as well, and corporate, and in management in particular too, I'm imagining.
Everything. So physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial. And so what I discovered on this journey of learning how most people don't work with folks is they only work with folks in a one or two parts of that, their life. And the money is important for certain. health is exquisitely important. They're both intertwined. Money and health are intertwined every time. I try to extricate them. Relationships, whether it's a personal relationship, whether it's leadership relationship, relationships are super important. So physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial. And mental isn't just mindset. So when I first started doing this, mindset wasn't this big buzzword. it was really the mental state and what is going on with your mind and how do you think and how do you believe, etc. And so I work with all six of those pieces in order to make sure that my clients do this, what I call an upward trending result. So most people get results from highs and then a low and then a pit and then a high and then a low and a pit. And I teach people how to get the upward trend. So you go up. If you have a dip, you're going to swing back around with these tools. You're going to swing back around. It's going to help you go back up again to that next level rather than really dumping into the pits.
Now, that's really interesting. I was having a conversation, I spoke at an event this morning, and I was having a conversation with somebody, and we're talking about that buzzword happy, you know, everyone's seeking this happiness, but it tends to be not just that you're happy, but knowing how to deal with, and I don't want to use the word cope, because we want more than that, just rather than a coping mechanism, but we want how to transcend through an experience that may ensure that we're not, inverted commas, happy at that particular moment. Is that sort of some of the things that you're working with as well? Is that part of that, to get that upward, to continue an upward trending result?
Yeah, so I don't generally deal with the word happy. I deal with ease and grace. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that when you learn to have more self-sufficiency with your energy, you will have ease and grace, meaning you know that if you are aggravated, I can give you a client example. Let's do this. I have this client who has a food company. We're growing it. It's gotten into 4,000 retail store doors here in the United States. Kind of cool. Went from zero a year, almost 2 years ago, to 4,000 doors. Cool. But every time she has a, let's say, an intense experience with her emotions, something goes a little askew. And so that used to be moment in, moment out, all day long. And so I've gotten her to a place of maybe once every other week, something like that. And things are just going miraculously. She got into QVC here in the United States. They gave her three airings, which is apparently super unusual. And so each of the tools I gave her to give her the path to ease and grace, and how to think, how to emote, how to relate to her team, how to relate to her husband and her daughter, how to relate to her investors, etc., all help them play into this ease and grace model.
Right. And what's a couple of things that you would have her do in that aspect? So we've got an example here.
So I'll use her as, because she's kind of an extreme example. Most of my clients aren't that intense with their emotions. She's from another culture, and so she's got very, very fiery emotions. And So one of the things we did early on was I said, okay, you have a container of, if you're going to get upset or frustrated or angry or any of those negative lower emotions, you can have them. I totally want you to experience them. I want you to go into the depths of hanging out with them for 5 minutes. I dare you to do it and turn the clock on, the stopwatch on for 5 minutes. I guarantee you can't get there. And you cannot be angry solidly at that intensity for 5 solid minutes. And it feels like, oh yeah, that's stupid. But the classic cool thing is if you contain that into a small section, it won't spew out into the rest of the day, the week, the month.
That's a really good point, isn't it? And I mean, we tell people, let go of things. Just like, okay, just let go of it. That's happened. Move on. But we want to be recognized that we just want to own that bit of anger and annoyance or frustration. And I can imagine how difficult that would be to hold for 5 minutes.
It's impossible. Like you can barely do it for a minute. And it's so cool because what it does is it really, really trains the brain to be like, listen, you're allowed to have it. You are not, that permission is not being taken away. That energy is not being diffused. You get to have it. You have that little party. I call it a little pity party, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Have that. Enjoy it. Just wallow in it. Just go ugly. And when you have that type of container, the emotions are like, oh, this is kind of stupid. But whenever you're thinking about it all day long and you're repeating it, you're actually more deeply embedding the problem. And I teach people how to unembed the problem. And to instead of let go, I say cut the cord. And we actually have a technology, and I'll give your listeners a link to where they can find that information, but how to cut the cord so it actually cuts that energetic connection from you and that other person, and it stops sending all of what I call poopy energy to them, and then they're reverberating it back, right? So we can't let it go. We don't know how. So this cut the cord thing actually stops the energy from just oozing everywhere.
That's a really interesting point, because that's something that I definitely believe as well, is that if you're holding on to that energy, then you're giving power to the other person. But I like the way that you phrase that. If you're pushing that energy out to them, then it's rebounding back at you again from them as well. And that makes a lot of sense at a whole lot of levels, where I'm thinking of a particular incident that somebody is trying to be very, very difficult with me at the moment, and they're trying their hardest. And so they're throwing that at me. And because I'm not engaging in it, they're throwing things harder and harder and harder, because they're trying to make a dent, and I'm just waiting for them to go, well, it's not working. So stop doing
it. Yeah. So here's the fascinating thing. So that's great. That's called the law of non-resistance. But if you were to play with the principle and law of string theory, which I was just talking about, that this is a science thing, that we're all one and connected. This cutting that energetic cord actually calms it down, so they have their own kind of realization. Because if you're using the law of non-resistance, that's awesome. It just takes longer. And yeah. I'm into the super fast hacks of how happy can I get my people, meaning how much ease can I help them have, how much grace can they have, so they can get into their next piece of wherever Absolutely. They're going to go.
Yeah, that sounds a lot better. I will definitely download that, the cord link, because that's exactly what's needed in this situation. And when things, you know, so for me, very fortunately, things like that are very, very rare. And it's trying to look at it as a bit of an observer as well, not just engaging in it, is an interesting.
Well, space. here's a cool idea. A cool idea is to be like, aww, I am so sad that you can't feel my love. And that sounds ludicrous. I get it. I'm writing a book on love right now. So I'm like in this little conversation around love and what we can do with love in this this love energy thing. I'm kind of experimenting with it in ways that I haven't in several years. And I was like, yeah, what if I, you just look at them and you pretend that all they are is just love? Mm. It just neutralizes all of that vitriol.
That's something I'm definitely going to meditate on. Yes, I'm aware that that would be a very good place to go. And yeah, I definitely will take that on board in that particular situation, because I can see how it just then provides opportunity for them to be getting a different energetic response from me as well. And that may change them in their response energetically too.
Yeah, so I used this a long time ago when I first started understanding how to put this whole thing together and this energy thing together that I'd been doing unconsciously. And I remember sitting talking with a friend, and we were just sitting on the sofa, and her new landlord comes by, and all of a sudden he's kind of yelling and upset, la la, and just going at her. And I'm just sitting there saying, oh, you're such a lovely soul. You're a lovely, kind person. You're so loved. Your wife loves you. Your kids. And I'm just saying this in my head. And he stops in the middle about 3 or 4 minutes into his tirade about who knows what. And he looks and he says, oh, my God, I've just been spewing junk at you. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to laugh. Try not to laugh. And he apologized. And he's like, can I get you a glass of water? I'd like to go get you all some really special water. I was like, sure. So really, it turned it around in such a beautiful way, because it was just such kindness. He couldn't do anything other than respond to the kindness.
No, that's absolutely perfect. That's, yeah. And it does make a big difference. And I imagine that, I know that's something that within the framework of what you do is changing that inner critic voice as well. So it's not just the voice that goes out to people, but it's the voice that we have within our own minds that causes us to doubt and discourage ourselves, doesn't it?
Oh, big time. I mean, I would say we have a small stadium worth of people.
With, we have a lot. Sorry, I missed that. It's just gone a little bit quiet. What did you say? Sorry.
A small stadium worth of people that have our little faces on in different ways that are all saying different unkind things about ourselves.
Yes. A small stadium. Now, that is an awful lot of people.
It's a lot of people, right? But it's so many. I mean, it's a lot of things that are just sitting in there waiting to just bubble up. It's fascinating. Mm. And I would love to turn them all into raving fans and just be like little hearts.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm picturing, because the Super Bowl obviously was yesterday, and I'm picturing that size grandstand of people.
You know, I didn't see that, so I don't really know. But yeah, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, no, they had it on TV here for the day as well. But that's just what popped, you know, is it?
Beat. I'm sorry that we're forcing that on you.
I know, you don't have to watch it. I think everybody just wanted the halftime entertainment and the ads. So I really think that was more so than the football. But yes, okay. There's a movie that was made years and years ago, and I just absolutely loved it and bought a copy of it. It was a children's movie and called Inside Out. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it was this young girl, and it was all the voices in her head. I think there was 6 or 7 or 8 of them or something, and there was anger and there was compassion, and the movie was about these little characters and things that were going on in her space. And so as things were changing in her outside life, some of the branches, say the branch that corrected the compassion, was falling apart because of things from outside. It's really, for what you do as well, it's a great movie, if you haven't seen it, to have a look at, because it puts a visual on it. And again, it was designed for children, but
it's a cartoony movie. Yes, it's a is an awesome movie. It's an awesome demonstration of what we say on the inside and the machinations. Yeah, for sure.
Mm, Yeah, totally. And so, you know, how do we break down those barriers that are going on in our subconscious then?
Well, I would love to say it's as simple as cutting the cord, but that's too simple. It's more like we have to be willing to, I always say, put some light on it, put a little crack in the door, a little, you know, it's like when you leave the light on with the kids and there's a little sliver, you know, with the light on in the hallway. And generally, we're so entrenched in what I call the need to be right, that we cannot see that there is another perspective that is laying right in front of us. Usually it's right there in front of us. There's another perspective and another opportunity for things to go easier and smoother, but we're just playing a game that maybe our parents taught us, school taught us. We may have overheard it on the playground. We may have overheard it on television. We may have had family or friends say it. And those have become ways of being, how we live and exist and behave from, and we don't know it. And it's really looking with a new question. So the new question would be, well, I wonder if there's something that I might see about this differently, or I wonder if we could play this a new way. I like the concept of asking, I wonder and I imagine, because the brain then starts to employ its faculties better and gets the energy into a more positive frame so that it can be more creative with the solution.
I love that. I wonder. And I, being a visual person, I like the imagine as well. But I don't know, the word wonder creates a magical sort of space to me anyway. And I think it's quite a powerful word, isn't it? Because it's not confronting, but it's a way of in asking people to consider a different thought process without challenging them on it, just by using that one word.
Yeah, and it also goes to the, you know, the child part of ourselves to be like, maybe there's something fun here. Maybe, you know, maybe there is a new way to consider it rather than, and it, I call it a bypass question, because then it, that kind of question bypasses our filters and our needs to be right and our entrenched ways of living and communicating and trying to solve problems in the old way.
You know, what popped in my head is that, you know, we're often being told to think out of the box, think differently. But this is a very different concept than that. It doesn't have a boundary of a box. It just is, it feels very flowing to me, that word, I wonder.
Yeah, and we're way more expansive than we give ourselves permission to be. And so, like kids, oh my gosh, they're magical beings. They play with energy all the time. And then we talk them out of it. And so we just need to go back and learn to be a kid and learn how this energy thing is working in our favor and working against us. Because generally we've been taught to use it to work. You know, we've been taught so it works against us. Hard, difficult, problematic, you know, harsh, etc.
Yeah. And one of the things that I read when I was reading through your information, you've had a point of quitting the chaos habit. And can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because that is even the word chaos is a strong word as well. You know, it's an impactful word and it creates energy in it automatically as well. So how does, you know, doing what you're doing, this obviously it makes sense with what you've already said, but that what does the chaos habit mean in that reference with what you're saying?
Yeah, so I started coding computer programs when I was 14. And funny thing is, I wanted to be a model. I grew up a tomboy, but I wanted to be a model, and I ended up being a computer programmer. How weird is that, right?
Yeah, that's a big leap.
in all of the realms, right? But it has stood me in really good stead because we tend to think in the total of a problem. We don't tend to know how to break it down to its microcosm. And I'm going to tell you how I learned this. And it was when my husband died, I got it down to, if I can just take one more breath, I'll live. And it really, I remember having this, if I just breathe one more second. And I really spent about, gosh, it was about 14 days when all my family was still around. And I was just like, if I can just breathe one more second, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to live. If I can just do one more. And I realized I was breaking it down to the tiniest denomination that I could possibly break it down to and then build from there. And it actually goes back to coding when I finally did all of the research on it. But it's really breaking things down to, if we can solve one thing, one element of something within somebody. Let's use this one client I was talking about who is who used to be super excitable. And it's not like she's excitable in a crazy bad way anymore. Now she's just like calmly excited. It's super fun to watch her. We just focused on, let's make sure that any conversation you're having with anybody is really solely focused on how you're going to be of the highest service. And that's what was going to work for her. Each person is different. Each client, each company, et cetera, is different. And so it's really breaking each thing in the chaos realm of whoever that person is, and looking at the one thing that needs to be solved. And generally, it's going to be money. So I always focus on bringing more income or revenue into each client's world so that that gets off the plate and we can actually start solving bigger problems later.
Okay, that makes sense too, because that is often what people are thinking about the most and what tends to absorb people's time and worry, isn't it, about income if it's not plentiful?
Even if it is, it's fascinating how there's always a money component. It has blown my mind away to think and have conversations and to do surveys of clients and of different points on their journey. And it doesn't matter. That is always the thing that they want to have solved, but it is rarely the thing that they talk about first.
that is fascinating. And yes, because I know we carry a lot of money stories. We carry a lot of stories with us at any time, don't we? But we carry a lot of money stories from our childhood too, and our experiences through life as to our relationship with money, whether we find it hard to come by or we spend it easily, or how we feel about it. And, yeah, as you said, it doesn't – what is enough – for some to feel that that part of the component is answered is quite different from somebody else as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like when you said you break it down to, you know, the tiniest denomination. I remember reading a book that was written by this fellow who, his wife and two daughters. It was the last time we had a gun issue in Australia. And since then, they had a buyback of guns, and we've really never had any massacre since. It's only 30 years ago. And his wife and two daughters were killed. And he wrote a book about, wish I could think of the name of it, but it was about time. And he would just lay in bed watching the next secondhand click through, the next secondhand. And it just made me relate to your story then. That was his way of breaking it down and getting through it as well, was just counting the second hands as they went through on the clock. Wow. But so yeah, so we've all got that ability when you're not looking at the overall overwhelming problem, but just, and I mean, both of your examples are quite, those examples are very extreme, but it would be like, it's like that with any problem, isn't it? It's just what is the real problem and how can we fix one component of it?
It is, but it is also learning, just like it is building a muscle. Because, you know, I've had to teach people how to break it down. So it's it really is a different way of breaking down problems and breaking down to get a solution. And when you go after each element of a person's life, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, it's what's the one thing that doesn't make, you know, it's what is the one thing that's going to move the needle fastest? And it's never what anybody expects. And it's so cool.
Okay. Okay. No, that's really interesting. That's it's definitely a really fascinating subject, because I haven't, in all the interviews that I've done, I haven't sort of haven't had anyone that talks about all those components and what you just said, which component is it that moves the needle faster? It's a bit like having multiple loans, isn't it? And going, okay, so if I get one paid off, then I know that that one's covered and then I can do the rest. It just...
That's kind of a fascinating analogy, but I kind of like it.
But then it reduces that stress on that particular thing, doesn't it? And it means you can put energy, the right sort of energy, obviously, to work towards the others. Sure. Now, we're for those that have been listening to these podcasts for quite a long time, we are condensing them down a little bit more. Although, Siobhan, there is so much more information that we've only just really touched the tip of the iceberg here. A few takeaway points for my listeners that you'd like to share before we wrap up.
I would say, I would say let's focus on the couple of things that you got me to talk about, which would be the chaos, the unwinding the chaos and the getting the clarity. So I think the cord cutting thing is going to be freedom for everyone. I give that one away because it's so powerful. It's an ancient technology from thousands of years in China and India, and they hardly ever talk about it in any place. And it's the most powerful thing in every person's life. So it would be disconnecting that and learning to cut that and using the tool I'm going to give you in a minute. And then really looking at what kind of ways that you really can take that container of minutes, right, that we talked about. That container of minutes that we talked about, and expanding that into something different, meaning where do you have 5 minutes that you're going to spend and breathe life into a problem that you have, but you're really not going to breathe it into the problem, you're going to breathe it into a solution. Some people call it meditation. I call it meditating on the solution as opposed to meditating on the problem. Most people meditate on the problem. Thus, they have more problems. and it actually, you know, gets bigger, et cetera, and the energy builds. So I am like, okay, well, let's just meditate on the solution. Even if you don't know what the solution is, you just mantra, I'm meditating on the solution. It sounds ludicrous, but it works every time. And then the thing about fear and doubt, I'm just going to go back to the thing that I'm writing about right now, which is love on everything, because love is going to transmute that ugly old energy into something positive and fruitful and possible.
Something that is positive, truthful, and possible. Mm-hmm. That's a really lovely way of saying that as well. Is that the byline for the book? Because it sounds like
I don't know the byline for the book, but I have a long series, and it's called The Secret Energy Of, and I have 9 of them written right now, and I haven't written the one on love. And I was like, you know, I need to talk about love. Everybody needs way more love. So that's the one I'm finishing.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. I will go and search for those books. It's certainly a lot there to read before we get to the love one anyway. So that's great.
Yeah, there's one called The Secret Energy of Forgiveness, How to Forgive Anybody, No Matter How Difficult the Circumstances.
Wow. And that's something that, isn't it? Forgiveness is one of those hardest things. We just had a terrible car accident here with 4 young lives that were taken. And the mother got on the news and said, I forgive the person within a day of it happening. And she'd lost three children. And it was, that was incredibly powerful for her to do that, to release that energy. And I, you know, it surprised, I think I would assume it surprised most people in her ability to do that, because it would be very hard to do. But it's released her from holding on to that dis-ease now as well.
Yeah, fascinating. I mean, they wanted me to do all kinds of things after, you know, my husband died and the motorcycle and all that. I was like, no, I'm not going after anything. You know what? It is what it is. It's horrible. I do not need to spend years just going down this rabbit hole of something that is not necessary.
Yeah. And that makes sense too. So how can we get in touch with you, and how can listeners get in touch, and how can they download the link as well?
So there's a book called Five Essential Energies for Immediate Success. And you go to the number five, essentialenergies.com.
So, and it is the five.
It's just the number five, and then essentialenergies.com, fiveessentialenergies.com. And in there, you're going to search for cord cutting. It's actually on my YouTube channel if you want to venture over there, but I have a lot of YouTube videos, so I don't even know how to help you there. So,
okay.
So I don't want you to dig it down in the weeds.
No.
Yeah, so well, I'm not a weeds
positive
kind of
there'd
girl.
Be a lot of YouTube videos up there. That
Yeah. So here's the other tool I think your listeners will get so much value from, and it's called EpicLifeToolkit.com. EpicLifeToolkit.com. And there are seven questions in there that are going to help you start unwinding and releasing and having some new revelations.
No, that sounds wonderful, and I'm looking forward to having a look at that as well. The five essential energies, are they the Chinese energies?
No, it's my wacky version of energy. It's how I talk. So okay. I take all of these ancient things and I make them super practical for today. And I really synthesize a bunch of teachings. I can see energy, hear it, smell it, all of those. I have all six of those, and it's a little overwhelming. But fortunately, I learned how to handle it. And what I've done is I've taken all that and made that information a bridge to building your business, having better relationships, having, having easier communications, having more prosperity, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what tools to use. It's a very powerful free ebook, and there are tools in every single chapter.
Wow. Okay. That is going to be so beneficial to the listeners. I really appreciate you sharing that as well. And also your website is Siobhan. I'm now going to stumble over it. Moran.com as opposed to how I originally said it. So it's SHEEVAUNMORAN.com. And I'm sure that you can find a whole lot of incredibly valuable information. And you are on all of the social media channels as well, under Energetic Solutions or under your name. So there's so much for people to look for you and find out what you're doing, and a whole lot of information on how you can help them as well. And if they want to work with you, then to go to the websites, that's the easiest way.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they can just send us an email saying, hey, interested in chatting, and we'll take it from there.
Fantastic. Look, I really appreciate you sharing with us today, Siobhan. That's just been not just information about problems, but you've given us some really beneficial tools just in that short period of time to be able to take away and apply in our own lives as well. And I will work on the love for that person that...
I can't wait to report back.
I will, because it's easier than it'll work a lot, as you said, a lot quicker than just ignoring the situation and not accepting that energy of that person. So is there anything else you want to add on?
No, I've enjoyed this. I'm so glad we got to do this. You have wonderful energy, and I appreciate you, Janine.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time. And ladies and gentlemen, that is another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And I'd love to thank you again for being online and listening. Remember, if you really like what you heard, then please go and leave a 5-star review. You can always find me on my website, JanineVosper.com. And for those that aren't sure about the spelling, it's JanineVosper.com. I will be back with a new episode shortly. So enjoy and have a wonderful time until you hear from me again. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.